Okay, hello and welcome to the March 15th Planning Commission meeting. We will start out with introductions. Let's start in South Kitsap.
Stacey Smith, representing South Kitsap.
Danielle Douthit. Go ahead.
Danielle Douthit, South Kitsap.
Carrie Kaltenborn Corey, South Kitsap.
And Central.
Alan Bean, Central Kitsap.
And Richard Shattuck, Central Kitsap.
Stephen Bowe, Central Kitsap.
And North.
Aaron Murphy, North Kitsap.
And Amy Mull, North Kitsap, standing in for our chair who is unable to join us today. Okay, so the virtual meeting protocol is on the second page of the agenda. And let's see here, the important things to remember, we will have two opportunities for the public to provide their comments, and these are not official comment periods for anything specific to the agenda, but general public comment. And if you want to provide comment, if you're on the internet, you can raise your hand by clicking on the raise hand feature, and you will be unmuted on our end, which means you can unmute yourself on your end and be able to speak. If you're calling in, dial *9 to signal that you would like to comment, and someone will recognize you by saying the last 4 digits of your calling number, and then you will be unmuted and able to speak. The written comments can also be submitted to be read during us during the public comment period. They need to be submitted by 2 p.m. on the day prior to the meeting. And written comments read during the meeting are limited to 2 minutes. For public hearings, that's 3 minutes. That is also true of general public comments, 2 minute time limit. So I think that is everything that we need to say. And we can move on to adoption of the agenda. Does anyone want to move to adopt the agenda?
I'll move to adopt the agenda.
Second.
Okay, moved and seconded. Does anyone have any discussion? Nope, okay. All in favor of adopting the agenda, raise your hand. And it is unanimous. Agenda adopted. Okay, adoption of the minutes. We just received the minutes. Do people feel like they have time to vote on adoption of the minutes, or did you need time to review them more? Okay, does anybody want to move to adopt the minutes of 3/2/22?
I'll move the minutes of our March 1st meeting be adopted as presented.
Second.
And any discussion or changes, Commissioner Beam?
Both Commissioner Shattuck and Commissioner Beam were at the meeting. Need to be added as list of participants.
Thank you.
Great. Any other revisions? Commissioner Kaltenborn-Corey.
I also believe for the DCD staff that was present, it lists Kirby, Mesa Blue, Jovich instead of Eric Baker.
Okay. Going once, going twice. Okay. Do we need a new motion since there were changes, or do we just
I'll change my motion to move that the minutes of March 1st be adopted as with the proposed amendments.
Mm-hmm. Second.
Second, and all in favor, raise your hand. And we are unanimous, not anonymous. Okay, we'll move into the first general public comment period. Public members who would like to make a comment. I see Mr. Palmer's hand raised.
Am I unmuted?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, thank you. First question is, how long is it going to be before the Planning Commission has in-person meetings? Even the Board of County Commissioners have hybrid meetings where it's in-person as well as online Zoom. I advocate at least that, but in the meantime, I guess we're stuck with this, but how long? The other question, I wasn't able to get on the Planning Commission's meeting on the 1st of March. I don't know what the technical problem was, but one of the comments that I wanted to make in your last meeting was regarding the electric vehicle and parking or bicycle thing. And it seems to me with all the other issues that the county's got, that these got to be way down the list of things that don't really need to come before the Board Planning Commission or Board of County Commissioners. Regarding the electrical vehicle charging stations, if individual businesses in their own parking lots decide that that's something they want to pursue, they don't have to meet any other regulations to either force them to comply or to utilize something they don't want to do, depending on their sentiments about it. And the bicycle plan, a long time ago, dating back to 2011, Kitsap County updated its land use development code, formerly called the subdivision code, and they made provisions for both bicycles and trails in that ordinance. So why do we even have to deal with that at this point in time? Now, I know that's not something that's on your current agenda, but if the matter comes back to you, I'll be monitoring it to find out to discern when that happens, but I'm just preloading the commission, I guess, by saying that it's totally a waste of time when there's lots more important issues to be dealt with. Enough said.
Thank you, Mr. Palmer. We actually have had, I believe, one hybrid meeting. The last meeting was hybrid. Oh, two hybrid meetings.
So we had one. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, the decision was made for this meeting because it was such a short agenda. It wasn't worth dragging everybody into the in-person area, I believe, but it is something that we have started doing. Okay, any more public comments? I don't see any more attendees. So we will move on to agenda item F, the work study. We'll turn it over to Sarah Olson.
Hi, thank you for having us today. I'm Sarah Olson. I'm the Spill Prevention and Response Coordinator for the Stormwater Division. We also have Michelle Perdue, who's our Stormwater Division Stormwater Program Manager, and Aslan Gallagher joining us. She's our Monitoring and Outreach Program Manager. So we are here to talk about the new Best Management Practices Ordinance that's coming up, new to code. Department of Ecology has directed us to build a program and ordinance that requires businesses to take measures to stop pollution before it enters the stormwater system. So I'll go ahead and let's see about starting to share my screen for my presentation, if that's okay. And if I need to explain anything during the presentation, just feel free to jump right in. And if I'm going too fast, just let me know and also down. Are you guys seeing my presentation yet?
Not yet.
Not quite.
Let's see here.
Now it's coming up.
Okay. Perfect. Okay, so presentation overview. We're going to be looking at talking about the source control program, the ordinance adoption, proposed language, scope of businesses, BMP examples, the enforcement process, and our public outreach process. So ecology is requiring us to create the source control program. It includes all permit required activities required by the municipal stormwater permit, including creating a business inventory, creating an ordinance, inspections, enforcement, and staff training. In order to stay in compliance with the permit, the county is required to adopt an ordinance that requires businesses to implement BMPs to prevent pollution. Best management practices is an activity, practice, or maintenance procedure that prevents or reduces pollutants to Kitsap County storm system or waters of the state. The proposed draft that the minimum requirement for the source control code is no later than August 1st, committees must adopt and make effective an ordinance requiring the application of source control BMPs. This is taken from the stormwater permit. And here's our proposed ordinance language. Basically, it's just all existing land uses and activities that generate pollution and discharge to the county storm system shall implement best management practices to prevent pollution. It's pretty much the condensed version of that draft.
So can I interrupt for 1 second, Rick Shattuck?
Sure. Hi.
I just want to make sure I understand. So we've got in Silverdale, the old place where Grocery Outlet is. It's a strip mall that was built back in the 60s.
Sure.
Would the intent of the ordinance be to require that facility to completely restructure its stormwater management system to bring it up into a best management practices circumstance?
No, not that kind of thing. Really, the best management practices we're talking about are more like vehicle washing, kind of control of dumpster leachate, customer parking areas. And then if you're,
Yeah, that's the specific one I'm looking at, you know, not picking on that place, but
yeah.
I would suggest that the stormwater management system for a use that was built in the 60s probably doesn't meet best management practices. And is the intent of the ordinance then to require retrofitting for all of, you know, that development that happened in Silverdale 40 years ago, 50 years ago?
So you're talking about the like catch basins and pipes and stuff like
right.
that?
Right.
So that is not what this ordinance is proposing.
Okay.
Yeah. So this ordinance is proposing, so let's go kind of go through the scope of what, you know, businesses this would fall under. So publicly and privately owned institutional, commercial, and industrial businesses, it'll cover multifamily sites on a complaint basis only, and single family resident home businesses on a complaint basis only. Examples include mobile businesses, auto repair, restaurants, gas stations, grocery stores, you know, things like fleet rentals, dry cleaners, and other industrial sites like rock quarries. So what exactly will businesses need to do? All pollution generating businesses will be required to meet applicable BMPs outlined in the ecology manual. So Kitsap County Stormwater is looking at, we'll be doing about 150 inspections per year out of our, what we calculated, it's about 730 total pollution generating businesses in unincorporated county. And we are required to inspect 20% of those per year. So I thought we could just go over a quick example of what an auto repair shop is looking at for requirements. So the applicable, sure.
Sorry, Aaron Murphy. Can we talk about definitions first? Say things like applicable businesses and garbage or what pollution generating, but your pictures are of anybody that's got a dumpster. So where are the definitions of who's meeting this criteria?
Let me go back. So the businesses that would be included, these are kind of like the main examples here on this slide. So it would be any businesses. So when I say pollution generating, it's any business that has, it could be like restaurant type garbage. Fleet rentals would be like for washing.
But
so
yeah, I know what each of those are, but you just told Richard that the grocery outlet would not be on this list of existing businesses, and yet here's grocery. I'm confused.
Okay, so I think we just need to talk about the difference. So I'm not talking about infrastructure.
Okay.
Only talking about best management practices. Like that employees, you know.
So if it's refuse created by the operation of it, see, there's all these definitions that I have yet to see that everybody's going to ask for clarification about.
Okay.
Alan Bean, can we go back one more slide? Where you're going to run into trouble and you're going to get public action very fast is you talk about things like dumpsters, customer parking, which means every business in the county,
yeah,
and vehicle washing. Those things and the responses that you're going to want the public to do has got to be available within the first 10 seconds of reading. Those things are going to be emotional issues that you're going to have those addressed right up front, particularly in your public outreach.
And I would even zoom back one more slide to say, the minute you started saying shall or that DOE's requirement or what happens if we don't do this? Like, you know, there's standard practice for DCD departments. And Sarah, I'm not picking on you. I'm just speaking on the thinking about it from the developer's side as to what you should expect. And they will say things like, will you get sued if you don't do this? Right? I mean, that's the natural, because everybody like, oh, GMA made us do it, or DOE made it, you know, point upward toward the state. So you're going to want real clarity, and I guess I'll ask for it now. Who's requiring this? And if you don't do it, what happens?
So this slide here, the in blue, the writing in blue, that's taken directly from the permit. So it's required by Department of Ecology.
And Sarah, I can also jump in really quick too. So 40 CFR chapter 122.41, the county could receive a penalty of up to $25,000 per day for being out of compliance with our municipal stormwater permit. So that's pretty much, that's what could happen.
Yeah, so great. That should be on the slide because it's the first question you'll get asked.
Awesome, good feedback.
And if a individual violator is going to require a $25,000 daily fine?
That would be for the county. It would be a fine to the county because we would be out of compliance with our, am I off mute? Okay. Because we would be out of compliance with our permit.
My guess
which,
is.
Yeah, which was my question is what happens if you don't? Because we need to know why we have to go through yet another jumping through hoop situation that costs a business owner money, for example.
I think Sarah's got several other slides left that may illuminate some of kind of what you guys are getting at. Maybe we can have her go forward just a little bit and see if we can't get some of your questions answered.
Okay, let me skip forward to kind of where we were. So I know, I can't remember who had the question about what applicable meant. Applicable just means required. So applicable BMPs equals required or enforceable. Examples would be inspecting incoming vehicles for leaks, using drip pans, remove and store batteries in covered non-leaking containment, empty oil and fuel filters before disposal, that kind of thing. Vehicle and maintenance repair must be done inside the building rather than out in the parking area. Chemicals that are stored outside need to be covered with secondary containment. And then we have, ecology does have always recommended BMPs, which are going to be optional, but we can always provide those for the business as options. So the enforcement process starts with the new code adoption. Going and we're going to be using progressive enforcement. So it's, we always would start with education and technical assistance, verbal warning, a warning letter, and then we would proceed if we got no solution, we would move on to a notice of violation and an infraction at that point. But we're always willing to work with the business first. I did include our public outreach process, our plan. I know it's kind of detailed, so I'll just say a couple of highlights. We've created a website. I'm going to be emailing stakeholder groups, including the Chamber of Commerce, KEDA, Citizen Advisory groups, and the tribes to see if they want me to come and present for them and provide information for them. We're going to be doing some social media posts. And we're going to be holding a public webinar, open house, on April 26th, if anyone's interested in that. Here's the postcard. It's kind of in very, it's going to look a little bit nicer than this, but this is kind of just the text of, we're going to be talking about the upcoming ordinance, what time the webinar is, and then on the back of it is going to have their proposed ordinance for their information. And this will be going out to all of the businesses that are on our list that are pollution generating. Here's just a snapshot of what the first part of the website looks like. I have the link there. And then on the right hand side has the information about the open house. It's over Zoom. And we also have a pretty easy public comment section on that website at the bottom. People can submit their feedback that way. And the next steps would be public outreach is taking place in the next couple months, June or July. The Planning Commission makes this recommendation, and then August 1st is our deadline for code adoption. And the beginning of the year, we would start on our inspections. And that's really kind of the rundown. If we want to have some discussion about it, or if anyone has any more questions.
Yeah, Sarah, I'd just like to follow up again one more time, because everything I've seen you presented, kind of scares the heck out of me in terms of retrofitting. We've said all existing land uses And the term includes customer parking. Okay. And so we have to get best management practices for customer parking for all existing land uses. Again, just seeing what Costco had to do in Silverdale when it changed its location of its gas station. The parking had to be redone, and we had to have a new pond system that was up against the one side of the road with vegetation and settling ponds and a second treatment process. Seems to me that's best management practice. And so we've said all existing land uses must have best management practices for customer parking. Sounds like retrofitting. And so I'm not sure. Said, no, we're not going to do that. In what we're doing here, it sounds like we're talking about retrofitting. So what am I missing?
So there's different kinds of BMPs. You have operational, which are like sweeping. And then you have structural, which are like a oil water separator. Right. And then you have treatment BMPs, which are kind of what you're talking about, like a pond.
Right. And so this whole ordinance has nothing to do with any of those things. So we're talking about customer parking. Your inspection will be what?
So we would be following Department of Ecology's BMP for customer parking areas, which include, so the operational BMP.
Can you show it to us?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Can you show it to us?
I could probably pull up the manual. It might take me some time. Maybe it might be a better use of my time to email you.
I can post a link in the chat too.
These are the questions that are going to come up in your very first meeting.
Yeah.
Okay.
These are the questions.
An operational BMP would be like sweeping. Ecology requires parking areas technically to be swept, I think, quarterly is what the BMP was saying. So, storage areas.
These are the things that are going to cause major heartburn.
So Sarah, let's just take an easy example. We have a program already where I'm not sure if it's Public Works or the health district goes through and checks to make sure that catch basins have been emptied. That, you know, after they're supposed to be pumped out every so often to make sure all the gravel and the inflow things are, the pipes are open. I assume that would be a best management practice for parking.
Yes.
And
yes.
So that's something you'll be inspecting.
That is technically a best management practice for storm system maintenance.
Right.
So a little bit different, but yes, related. And we do have a program. It's our commercial inspection program at Public Works that looks at that.
Okay, so that is not what we're talking about with this ordinance. What this ordinance would be if you have refuge flowing into your catch basin, you'd say, wait a minute, you can't do that. But this isn't really focused on, say, I'm not pumping out the catch basin itself. Or taking the gravel out of it, or the trash out of it.
Yeah, definitely different. This would be more like making sure that pollution isn't getting into the storm system.
Yeah, and again, well, I can help with that by installing an oil water separator, right? I mean, that can help. And you're saying no when I'm saying all existing land uses and has to comply with BMPs. And it includes customer parking, that the statute should be read not to require best management practices such as forcing oil water separator for an existing parking area that doesn't have it.
So if the operational source control BMPs are failing, if that business is failing to prevent illicit discharges, so pollution into storm system, yeah.
Yeah. Let's go back to customer parking. Customer parking, you don't have an operational BMP, do you?
If your video, it would be great if Sarah could finish her thought before she's interrupted. Thanks.
Would someone mind asking a question? The question again, I'm sorry.
Point of order, Madam Chairman, we are in the discussion phase. This is discussion.
I agree, and discussion is great as long as the person who's speaking can finish their complete thought before someone interjects.
So I think, Sarah, what we're trying to just understand as we're presenting this to business owners is a way to show them in the proposed statute that, hey, this is only with relation to operational issues, that it has nothing to do with existing stormwater systems, except to the extent there's operational aspects of the existing infrastructure, I think is what I'm taking from this, but I don't see that in the language.
It does say, should operational source control BMPs fail to prevent illicit discharges or allow violations of surface water, structural source control BMPs or treatment BMPs shall be implemented.
So that it would be retrofitting.
If their operational source control BMPs are failing.
Okay.
If I may, that's directly out of the permit too. That's not something that Sarah has kind of come up with.
This is what we've come up with. This is our draft language.
Yeah. So anyway, that's just knowing the kind of the business community in Silverdale and how you've got different phases. You start again Costco and you go down to these old strip malls that were done, you know, right at the time the subbase was being built. There's just a question I would want to be ready to answer. I think Commissioner Beam is right that's something people want to know. But the final question is, in terms of outreach, I assume you've talked or sent something out to the Chamber of Commerce's in business groups just to make sure they're aware of this for their.
Yeah, not yet. We're going to do that next week. We just wanted to meet with you first before sending that out. So
sounds great.
So
did anyone else have another question?
Yes. So Stacy Smith with South Kitsap. Thank you for providing an overview of the unincorporated approach. Are you working with city jurisdiction public works to mimic this, or how does that work in concert with those incorporated areas?
Well, the incorporated areas are coming up with their own ordinance and their own inspection program as well. Okay. We are doing some coordination to make sure that our ordinance kind of match each other and require the same kind of the same thing. So we are kind of coordinating with our same programs.
And the other jurisdictions too, the other incorporated cities have the same permit requirement. The other phase two jurisdictions are also covered under the same permit. So they have the same requirement we do.
So if a business were to have two locations, one's in the incorporated area and another site being in the unincorporated area, which one takes precedent, the most restrictive or where the site is? It's just a question of curiosity.
I'm not really sure I understand the question actually, because if the business is located in unincorporated, we would do the inspection, but if it was located in Bremerton, Bremerton staff would do the inspection.
So a business could have two different offices. One could be within the city limits of Bremerton and one could be in Silverdale.
Mm-hmm.
So is it site specific or is it business would have to follow whichever BMPs are the most restrictive? I guess that's a question.
It's site specific.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, and they would be the same BMPs because we're all following the Western Washington okay. Stormwater Manual from Ecology.
Okay.
So while there would be some difference if, depending on which inspector showed up on site, of course, that's going to be regardless of same jurisdiction or different jurisdiction. We're all following the same rules.
Commissioner Beam, did you have a question?
I had a question on your auto repair slide.
Okay. Let me see. That was further. Okay.
It says, do not pour any pollutants or wash water into storm drains. The next sentence says, shop floor drains must be connected to the sewer. So you're saying, don't put it in the storm water, dump it in the sewer.
Yeah. Shop drains must be connected to the sewer system, usually with an oil water separator first. Pollutants cannot be dumped on the storm system. You are correct. So wash water, like for instance, mop wash water, that needs to go down the sewer line and not in storm.
That's shifting pollution to somebody else.
Well, the sewer system can handle wash water.
Whereas the storm water goes directly out into our surface waters, with no treatment.
Okay, any other questions or comments? Okay, then we will move into the second general public comment period. And I see a hand raised. Mr. Palmer, it looks like you are unmuted.
I'm outraged by that proposed ordinance. I didn't see in the presentation where there was a reference to an RCW that DOE is basing this requirement for counties and cities. Second of all, I can foresee huge expenses on the part of private business to try to comply with the requirements of this ordinance, and I am almost feeling that this is absolutely incredulous. It flies in the face of the vesting doctrine for existing development that was approved a long time ago, and they're trying to come back and get us get businesses to comply with a new ordinance. That's a problem. I don't think there's going to be any trouble finding enough people to mount a class action lawsuit against the county if they and DOE if this goes into effect. This is ridiculous and totally unacceptable. Sorry if that offends anybody, but it is. And as president of Kitsap Alliance of Property Owners Organization, we may be the catalyst for that class action lawsuit if this thing goes into effect. I don't know yet. That's a decision to be made by the board of directors. But this is totally unacceptable. And the county should just be on notice about that right now, because the expenses that businesses are going to have to come up with to comply with such an ordinance is just ridiculous. It just sounds okay on paper, but it's far from okay. Enough said for now. I'll have more to say later.
Okay, thank you for your comments. Any other public comments at this time? Okay, Seeing none, we will move on to, for the good of the order, commissioner comments. Does any of the commissioners have comments or items for the good of the order?
I would just say thank you to the presenters today, and hopefully that the feedback being critical in nature is just a reminder of how maybe we can make what you're presenting better before you're out in the public with it. And then I'm sure the chips will fall where they may at that point.
Okay, going once, going twice. Okay, any final words, or would anyone like to move to call the meeting?
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Okay, all in favor of adjourning, raise your hand. And looks like we're anonymous. We're unanimous. thank you, everybody, for being here and your discussion. And I will see you next time, hopefully with our esteemed colleague present as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, Amanda.
Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you.